Hey, what's going on? It's your boy Cameron Airborne. I'm over here kicking it with Jigsaw Company over in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Yes, sir.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy Jigsaw Blue back with another episode of Jigsaw Company brought to you by Puzzle Me Entertainment. You know, you can catch us on Spotify, Google Play, Apple. We all over the place. If you ain't on Anchor, download the Anchor. Yo, the guy that I'm sitting with right now, I can literally say I have watched him grow into his career. He was a little nigglet running around in the neighborhood back in the day. I met him through my young boy, AD. Shout out to AD. And he was always different, and I respected that. As y'all know, I love people that's different and that's outcast. But that's enough for the intro.
Appreciate it.
G the villain. G the villain, man. What's good, bro?
GTV, what's good with you, man?
Can't call it, man. Can't call it. So, it's been a long time coming since we did this.
Yeah.
I remember when this is my initial memory of you reaching out to me, as far as like when I realized you was doing music. You did Pyru. You dropped the Pyru back in 2017. I was in Arizona. You was still here, and you had hit me up and you was asking me questions. Let's start back. How did you get into rapping?
Man, okay, so the way I got into rapping, bro, so my mother always had me like performing in front of the church since I was like 3 years old. I was 3-4 years old, lead the man's choir, you know what I'm saying? Dude's like 30 years old plus, like grown men, bro. I'm like up to their knees. I'm leading every song, bro. I used to lead the man's choir.
Wow.
So word. That's how I really got into the music thing. Rapping per se, I got into like rapping because of John Cena. Word up, because I always be a wrestling fan.
I do remember y'all on the wrestling
head. So, John Cena influenced me to start rapping, keep it hot with you, bro.
Wow.
That's crazy.
So was it his initial theme music, or
it was all of it, the whole package, the theme song, the freestyle. I take the freestyles and go to school and steal them in elementary school. Where I used to sell his freestyles. I spit his theme song, tell homies, like, yeah, bro, this me. Word.
Yo, that is funny. That is funny. I've never heard nothing like that before.
That's how I started, bro.
Wow. So, do you remember the first song that you ever, like, written?
The first rap song I ever wrote?
Yeah.
The first rap song I ever wrote. Yeah, I do remember it. It was with my homeboy, Davon.
And what was the title of it?
Now, I don't remember what it was called, though. I ain't gonna lie to you. But it was called Crew Crew back then.
Crew Crew.
First Crew with a K, the second Crew with a C. It was Crew Crew.
So how did that turn out? Like, y'all still linked today, or?
Well, me and him, man, honestly, I ain't talked to that man in about 3-4 years, bro. Mm-hmm. He one of the only homies. It's been a long time since I talked to him. But me and him doing that, you know, we were just playing around. What really got me, like, really on it, the way I felt like, this is what I want to do, is one summer, AD gave me a call. He was like, hey, bro, let's rap. So I was in Raleigh. I was gone for like 2 weeks. I came back to the Ville. I linked up, me, AD, Shine, Chris. Got a little team, Gamma joint. We recorded a whole bunch of songs at his crib, freestyling on a Def Jam mic or whatever that you plug into the PlayStation.
I remember those days.
Yeah, we made a whole mixtape. Then the computer was raggedy, so we lost all the songs. So ain't nobody gonna rap no more, so I was dolo.
Everybody gave up when it happened. You the one that kept going with it.
Yeah, everybody gave up when it happened. So I was like, hey, let me get the mic. I'm going to take it to my mama crib. Plug it to the computer. And ever since then, I ain't stopped.
You ain't stopped. See, like I said, Pyru, that was like was Pyru like your initial saying, like, all right, this G the villain, I'm here. This is me.
Well, now that I look at it, like my hindsight, it was. But when I put it out, I kind of felt like I already had, like, asserted myself in the game. Because I already had put out, like, 3 or 4 mixtapes before then.
Okay.
And so I'd be at school passing out a mixtape. People was messing with them. But Pyru's the first album I ever recorded in the studio.
What's
so
up?
So I still consider that my first real body of work.
Okay.
You know, and I recorded that upstate in New York.
And I'm going to get into that because I noticed, like, from Pyru to the joint that you just dropped this year,
Medicine Man?
I think that's what it is.
I put out a few. I got some with Woods.
Welcome to the Ville.
Okay.
Welcome to the Ville.
I put out 3 this year.
That, the sounds is totally different.
Completely different.
Totally different. And in my opinion, Welcome to the Ville is more so of a down south, what's going on now type vibe. Exactly. And the rest of your work is more so of that 90s East Coast cutthroat,
yeah,
gritty type flow. So where did you get, like, how did you get into that? How did you pick up that flow?
So I'm gonna throw that back at my mother too a little bit, because everybody in my family's from New York. So I came up listening to all that East Coast music, like, mm-hmm. Like the first hip hop lyrics I ever really knew was like Kumo D, How You Like Me Now, LL Cool J Diss. I know the whole entire song to this day. I know the whole entire song, and I always knew it. It's the first rap song I ever learned.
My kids, I tell them, like, it's certain songs that you have to know in my household.
Yeah.
LL Cool J Bad is one of them. I'm bad.
Yeah.
Mr. Big's Trial Time, that's another. But I can understand where you can get rooted from that New York style. So you went from let me backtrack. You said Kumo D. Who else was your influence to get you to rap like that? Because I know you a big Mobb Deep.
I love Mobb Deep. So really, I met my boy. I didn't even know anything about Mobb Deep, man. I knew Shook Ones just like everybody else does. Right. So, man, just me pursuing my rap career and just keep going or whatever. I got into like the 10th grade. I met somebody named Derek. He signed to GME right now. Mm-hmm. My boy goes by Luke Burner. Shout out my nigga Derek.
Hey.
But anyway, I met Derek. Went to his crib. His pops was just like a big Nas fan. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So anywhere I go with them, anytime in the crib, it's always Nas playing. Like right now, he got a room dedicated to Nas called the Illmatic Room.
Wow.
So he loved Nas. So him he played Nas, all that Queensbridge music, Mobb Deep, and Prodigy Voice just picked up to me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And they was heavy on the Nas. Like you said, I always been different. Yeah. So they were playing Mobb Deep with us. I was like, let me go check this out. This sounds a little different. So I heard Prodigy and instantly became my favorite rapper.
Instantly.
It probably took, like, I listened to the Infamous album, and after I heard that album, I was like, damn, this nigga cold.
Yeah.
To me,
I wasn't a big Mobb Deep fan, man.
I love Mobb Deep, bro.
Like, as far as like East Coast music, like, and I wasn't a big J fan. Yeah. I wasn't a big Nas fan. Like, Biggie was my guy.
Okay.
I know Life After Death, Front to Back. Biggie is like my Pac to everybody else.
See, man, I got that. I love that Wu-Tang too, though. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't start, like, honestly, I ain't really start listening to like the older, like 90s music, as far as like the golden era music. I didn't really start listening to them to like 2015 or whatnot, because at that point in time, like when I was coming up, like my peoples, they was playing Biggie. Well, my stepfather, he put me on Biggie and whatnot, and I was like, all right. And then when I was getting into music, I was like, okay, Biggie, you know, he inspired me. So
that's the bar.
Yeah. So I'm up here trying to rap and I'm saying shit that I'm not even supposed to be saying, and my peoples heard it, and they put me on to like Will Smith and he's like, it's other options out there.
Other way to do it.
I was like, all right, you know, I started listening to other music, and that's when the 2000s came, so I kind of stayed with the South.
Right. You went with the times.
I went with the times, but then I listened to Wu-Tang first album, the first one.
It's at 36 Chambers.
I listened to that for the first time, 2015, and I was just like, It's so much music. Like I fuck with Method Man and Old Dirty Bastard, but then I was like, okay,
it's a complete different sound with everybody else.
Exactly.
It's like a whole different artist.
Inspector Deck, Ghostface Killah. And I was trying to figure out like why, you know, because Charlamagne is like one of my guys that I look up to. And I was like, why, you know, Ghostface.
Yeah.
But then listening to him, I was like, all right, you know, I can see
you
why.
You can understand.
I can see why. So we got Mobb Deep, we got Wu-Tang. So, nobody from the South, like, really influenced you?
Man, honestly, not to rap, but, like, I like Lil Wayne.
Okay.
You feel me? Like, I think everybody do, though. But me being a kid, like, I always loved Lil Wayne. As far as, like, lyricism, nah, honestly, not too many Southern rappers really influenced my sound. Maybe now a little bit, me listening to... let's see how this artist attacks this beat or something like that. I'm not gonna go in and take another artist's sound, But it may give me an idea like, okay, I can come like this, or I can come like that, you know, and flip that in my own way, however I want to do that.
So you got, so, because like I said, a lot of your projects leading from Power leading on up, it was a lot of East Coast heavy type styles.
Right.
So you wanted to see how diverse you can be, or?
So I already knew I was diverse because mm-hmm. my second mixtape called GTV is like, craziest thing I ever put out. The quality is just so trash, I'm not even gonna promote it. You feel me? Because I recorded it on the Disney mic, but it's hella creative. You feel me?
Like, that, it's creative. And this, and that's a good story to tell, man, because like a lot of people, you know, don't wanna talk about, I mean, they talk about their upcoming, but they don't talk about, you know, like you're saying, rapping on a Def Jam or the Disney mic. Like, I remember recording at my mom's house in a closet with just a curtain and the mic that we had, you know, it was just like a little port that you just put in. Wasn't
a USB joint.
No, not even a USB joint. It's like a little headphone jack.
Oh,
type joint.
Oh yeah.
And I remember we broke it. Me and my boy Quez, shout out to Quez. We walked to Walmart from where we at now. We walked to Walmart to go get a mic.
Got another one.
And
Walmart's a long walk. They don't know where we at. Your boy is walking at least for 45 minutes.
At least. But I, like I said, I respect people like come up and grind. And it's just funny. And it's good that you can, it's good to laugh back, you know, to John Cena. You know, the Mike. Especially just how you are now and where you at now. So.
Well, I've been going, just to harken back on that question you asked me, bro. I just thought about it. Like, I've been going back. As far as like Southern rappers influencing me, I've been listening to a lot of Hot Boys lately, like a lot of like old Cash Money music.
Okay. So how you feel about that 21 project? Do you feel that, like?
I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't even heard it.
Really?
Nah, cause that comes in with my East Coast bias, man. I was just that it came out the same day as that West Side Gun album, man.
Okay.
You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
I can respect that.
It came out with the West Side Gun album, so I had
to. You have to check that shit out, bro.
I know it's hard. No, I ain't want to give it a real review because I ain't listened to it fully through. But you know, I done been around the scene and the album playing or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I haven't taken my own time to really sit down with the project one on one. You know.
So what's the difference of your process of doing, say, for instance, like your East Coast flow versus the flow that you did on Welcome to the Bill? If there is a process, a different process,
man, it's like almost every song I write is a different process. So a lot of times, I'm always writing music, bro. So sometimes, like, I'll go in the studio and record a song today, and I'll find a verse that I wrote in 2018 that I just never used, and it's hard, and that go on the track.
That's what's up, because a lot of people they throw stuff away, or they be like, you know, that don't go to nothing. But so you keep all your shit.
If I go on my notes right now, you can scroll back to 2015.
I mean, I'm the same way as far as like writing wise. I got books from 2015.
Word.
So that's what's up. Like your recording process. Do you have one as far as like Styles? I know is it Styles P? One of them. He said one of the locks. Remember, one of them said they, you know, they
work out and all that.
Not the workout, but as far as like they, you know, rather have like. Niggas in the room, weed, drinks, bras, or you know, the other one. I think I want to say it was Styles that was like, he just wanted, you know, just me, the engineer. I might have a candle lit, you know, so she might have me a little wine or something. Do you have your own recording process?
As far as recording processes, man, I don't care who's there, who's not there. I just like for it to be a little bit of turn up in the room. I can go in there sober and make a song, but I'd rather not.
I feel you.
I'd rather have me a drink, have me a blunt, have me something. I feel like it kind of freaks the delivery a little bit.
Gotcha.
Honestly, that's what I think. But I got songs that I recorded sober. I got plenty. The whole Peru album, every single song on the album, I was drunk.
Wow.
Every single song on the album, I swear to God, every song.
Wow. I don't think I never did a song drunk, bro. I probably did one high.
I record everything lit. I record sober, like, if it's just like on some shit where, let's say an engineer hit me up, like, hey, bro, come to the studio. I got a beat. I want you to just hop on or something. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't got enough time to go do what I need to go do, or, you know, I'll just pull up and just record because I love the music. But usually, bro, I always got me like a, I got me some liquor, I got me a blunt, I got something I could do.
I'm gonna say you're gonna be lit regardless.
I'm gonna be right. I'm gonna be right when it's time to record, man.
Regardless.
Cause I'm gonna be lit when I perform it. You feel me?
Facts. And so have you, so you have performed in front of people?
Yeah, I have. I never done anything too, never done anything too big though. But yeah, I have performed in front of people.
I'm gonna link you up with my guy Clark. He got this shit called Flex Pull Up. You ever heard of Tiny Desk?
Yeah, or the URL joint?
They showed on YouTube. It's a artist, they go perform in front of a crowd. Mm-hmm. It's a small crowd, but they perform in the crowd. And they might have a live band or they might have a DJ, but they perform it and it's like a episode type thing versus it actually being a show.
Yeah, that's dope.
And sometimes they tell a story behind it or whatnot. So he's doing something like that for The Ville. He locked in for his first 6 episodes already, but he doing 2 more for sure. So I think that's something that you should be a part of.
Oh yeah, you know you gotta connect me with that.
Right, that most definitely. I haven't seen no performance, man. So like, tell me about your first performance that you ever had.
Man, my first performance, if you don't really go way back, my first performance, I was in the 10th grade. It was for a school talent show.
As it always is.
It's a dude named Mr. Nelson, RIP Mr. Nelson. He passed away now though. Huh. But he told me, he said we was trash, you know what I'm saying? He said we was trash. He was like, man. And we was cold as hell, too. What happened was, you know, it was a whole group. We had a group called
was
PCB.
Was Miss Bernard there?
Mr. Bernard.
Miss Bernard.
She wasn't even there, I don't believe.
Oh,
I don't think she was there. She was working at the school, you feel me? But she wasn't there to judge it. He was the only person judging.
Oh, man. Okay.
So it was me and like 3 of my boys. Me and my boy Luke Burner, Penny Taylor, Master Woods. We went up there.
Master Woods cold. Sorry.
That's my boy, too.
He cold.
Master Woods, nah, he didn't kick it off. My boy Derek kicked it off, Luke Burner. Then after he went, my boy Woods came in. They cut that shit off instantly. He went in like 10 seconds. This nigga, like, he loved Wu-Tang. He didn't want to put me on the Wu-Tang.
Right.
So back then, this nigga was rapping like that. So this nigga rapping about damn chopping niggas' heads off and this crazy shit. It was like, this nigga was rapping about World of Warcraft. That's what they said.
Shit.
Yeah, I tried to go on with my verse. Nigga was like, man, y'all done.
And this is like at the actual talent
show. This is at
show.
School, bro.
At the actual talent show.
Oh, nah.
Oh, y'all was rehearsing.
Nah. It was, because you had to try out to get on the talent show.
Okay, y'all was auditioning, okay.
So we want to go further with another performance.
Your first actual performance.
My first actual real performance.
In front of a live crowd.
I would say that was in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
Me and my boy Luke Burner, he was up there with me. He was just my hype man. He did about 3 songs with me. Yeah, he did about 3 songs with me. But it was at a sports bar in Virginia Beach. It was pretty deep. But at first, when we first started, man, we didn't really have nobody's attention. You know, everybody just drinking at the bar and they didn't give a damn. It's like we rapping to nobody. Shit, by the end of our show, bro, everybody looking at us.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody was fucking with us. Like, man, come back.
And that's how it normally goes, like, especially like when you at like a sports bar or a comedy show and whatnot.
Yeah.
They just there to, you know, gather, but you have to do something to catch their attention. What you feel like gets their attention to make them be like, alright, you know, I'm about to check this young man out.
Probably my bars off of LG Connect. Okay. See, LG Connect is a song that was originally supposed to be a part of Peru. But my boy Derek Burner, he was out of town at a different place at the time, so by the time he recorded his verse, the album already had came out. But see, I re-released the album earlier this year. When I re-released it, I put that song on there.
Okay.
So it's a song on there called LG Connect. And in the song, I was like, I miss sniffing coke. I miss being broke. I miss fucking foes, hoes, and making them choke the most. You know what I'm saying? So I said some shit like that. It's like, you miss sniffing coke? What is this nigga talking about? Yeah, so like, you know what I'm saying? As soon as I started saying crazy shit, that song was wild. So right. As soon as I started saying some shit like that, you know what I'm saying? Got their attention, like you said. Niggas was fucking with me.
That's what's up, man. And one thing I can say about you, you don't have no gimmick or you don't follow nobody.
Yeah, bro, I'm gonna do me.
Yeah, you always had your own sound. Even the niggas that you run with, y'all sound the same, but y'all different. Like, yeah. Nasty.
That's my boy, Shaw Nasty. Speaking of him, I should give him more credit in this interview, bro. That nigga really is the one that got me nice with his rapping shit.
Back in my 80, I could have outbarred him.
Oh, word?
Back in my 80, I could have outbarred him. Me here, we used to go back and forth a little bit.
He nice, man.
But I think I could have outbarred him.
He really got me nice, though, bro. You know, because at one point, I was recording everything sounding like I was reading it. So he got me right with my delivery.
That's the thing. You got to put people around you that's going to elevate you. If you got a whole bunch of people that you have to make better,
yeah,
it's not going to elevate your career. So it's good that you have people in your circle that could make you better yourself.
Right.
So when y'all all together, do y'all challenge each other? Because I know with my boy Marley, shout out to Marley, when we did our recording process, sometimes we recorded separately, but majority of the time we had to be in the same room. If we was in the same room, he'll go record, and then I'll go record. Oh, nah, Jig, nah. I'm going to have to redo my verse.
Right.
And then he'll freestyle.
Uh-huh.
Fuck the real shit. No, his first verse was written. But then when I spit my shit, he be like, oh, I got to freestyle. And then that's when he'll do his shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, nah. And sometimes, sometimes we be in there from, like, we used to get, when we got out of school to, like, probably, like, 9, 10 o'clock straight, just going back and forth.
And they're going, recording.
And I want to say, like, sometimes we get mad at each other because we be like, all right, we're going to do, like, 2 songs, 3 songs this day. But then we end up only doing 1 song because
niggas
we
going all day.
Back and forth. So do y'all challenge each other?
Man, as far as me and Nasty.
Oh, no, your whole camp.
Man, I mean, we do challenge each other, but it's different. I got a different recording process, honestly, with every one of my homies. Just like, I'm a very intellectual dude, bro. So I think before I act on a lot of shit.
That's good.
So, like, I got a different relationship with all my homies, so I approach everybody a different way.
Right.
It's all genuine, but I approach everybody a different way. We make a different kind of music together. Like, even though we're all in the same camp, it's rare there's going to be a song where you find me, Master Woods, Luke Burner, Nasty, Penny Taylor, you know what I'm saying? All the homies on there. That's going to be rare. Oh, my bad. Shout out my boy Dutch, too. I forgot about him and Dutch. But, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be rare for you to hear a song like that because everybody got their own style. So, with me and Nasty, as far as challenging each other, a lot of our songs recorded, man. A lot of songs we recorded, man, at the beginning was me sending him a song online and him sending it right back to me. But it was crazy. We would do like 5 or 6 in one day.
Damn.
Like, he sent me 5 songs a day. I sent them all back to him by the night. So, yeah. It's like our work ethic online got so crazy that we didn't even have to be in the studio together.
That's
so funny. So when we do get in the studio together, it actually comes out really dope. You know what I'm saying? Usually we already be having our verses. Like I said, we both are like real big on writing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably been like 3 different occasions where we had to link up and sit down, write our verses down. Like we'll get there, nigga throw a beat. I'm like, this hard, nigga. The beat rock. And I'll be like, okay, I got something for this. He be like, all right, I got something for this too. Then we go in and see what the fuck happened.
So
like, we'll talk about what kind of direction we want to go with the song. I got a verse almost for any direction. You
okay, that's dope. You always being prepared.
Yeah, I got verses about females, verses about dope, verses about robbing, verses about living life, verses about my daughter, verses about me. You know what I'm saying? I got hella content.
So, how often do you, I'm gonna go in here and I'm gonna just start fresh. Not worry about what I already got in my bag.
Right.
I will only go in my bag if I absolutely have to.
I start fresh every time I work on a solo album.
Okay.
So if I'm working on a solo album, I'm not gonna use any verses in the tuck. I only use my verses in the tuck for like collaboration songs.
Okay, that's dope.
I might write a new verse too, but for the most part, that's when I use the verse in the tuck. You know, if I go to the studio, I usually have about like 5 or 6 songs done. I get a 2-hour session, I can record about 5 or 6 songs. So when I...
That's one thing I try to get these young boys to understand. You have to go in and already be prepared.
Yeah.
Because if you kicking in money, you don't know how many times you got to record.
Exactly.
You don't know how many times you gonna mess up. Then on top of that, you don't know how... If the engineer is going to fix the song up right then and there, that's a part of your time.
Yeah, that shit going to be some time.
So, much praise to you for you learning that.
But that's all part of the grind. You know, man, with me going into studios and being able to record like that, I built relationships with engineers to where, like, the time won't even matter. Like, nigga got to go with 30 minutes to fuck with my vocals. It's like, whatever, because this nigga did 5 songs in 2 hours. Like,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas just respect the grind, so they'll go over it. They'll just take care of the shit for me.
Okay.
You feel me?
That's it.
And that rarely happens, but if it does, they'll do it. Ain't nobody gonna charge me nothing.
And that's what's up. And that's another big thing as far as like with this music thing or entertainment period is just building that, having that genuine relationships. A lot of people just think, okay, what can you do for me?
Right.
And it really shouldn't be like that. It's all, you know, how can we help each other?
How can we both come up?
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly how it's supposed to be. I feel like that's dope, bro, that you take the time, that you study your craft. And that's what a lot of people don't do. They just think, okay, I'm going to get it. You know, my homeboy rap, so I'm going to rap too. And then, you know, they get in the camp and they got people around in there that won't tell them that, okay, you should work on this. You should work on that.
Well, you see, man, I'm that guy, bro. Well, for my homies. All my homies is nice. Like honestly, to me, they all nice. Like, top tier nice. And like, we all rap completely different. But when we all started, almost everybody was trash.
And you hold them accountable for...
I was trash too, but I had the most drive to get everybody nice.
Right.
The only nigga that was nice was Derek. My nigga Luke Burner, he was the only one that was nice. Everybody else trash. My nigga Darrell Payne Taylor, he was snatching up niggas' bars. My nigga, I'm just keeping it hot. You know, that's what that nigga was doing. He was snatching up nigga bars. Me, I was just ass. You know what I'm saying? Woods, like I said, he rap about water aircraft and just going bullshit. Like, niggas.
I wish I could have seen that goddamn audition.
I mean, you can follow that music, man. We ain't take it down because it's part of the come up. It's all on YouTube. But, right. But yeah, bro.
I want to see that audition, man. Oh, man.
Oh, the audition?
Yeah.
Shit, I wish I could see that again, too. That's a long walk home, dog.
It was quiet.
Man, it was, man. Niggas was pissed.
Oh, shit. So, I'm gonna go to my little question board. So, what do you think your unique skills are as far as, like, you being a rapper? As far as, like, separating you from other rappers that's coming up?
Well... My lyricism, first off, a lot of rappers don't care about their lyricism no more.
That's true.
I mean, I ain't gonna say they don't care. Maybe they care, but they don't. They're not really too in tune with it. Like the flow sound the same. A lot of songs sound repetitive. Like on one album, like I try to make everything sound a little different. You know what I'm saying? So I try to flip the flow. The way I go about music, I feel like it's a little different anyway. Like I listen to music like I'm reading a book. Like, I can't even have if I got a girl, if a girl fucking with me and she wanna change my music in the car and shit, like, I won't fuck with her no more. Like, I cut her off, like, straight up.
Wow.
Like, cause when I'm listening to music, it's like a nigga read a fucking author, he wanna write a great book. He gonna read some good books.
That's true.
I wanna make some great music, so I'm gonna just listen to great music.
So, cause you know how some artists, they say, I'm not gonna listen to nobody else's music, like, especially like if they in album mode.
I'm not
gonna listen to no music, nobody else's music, cause I don't want no influence, or I don't want nobody to say that, you know, that sounds like such and such.
Yeah.
So you the complete opposite. You.
Oh no! I'm gonna listen to shit. I might be a week. I go straight a week straight just listening to G the Villain. Mm-hmm. But shit, it might be a week. I go straight and I listen to no G the Villain at all. I'm just listening to damn Cash Money or damn Mobb Deep or Nas or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Griselda. That's some niggas I'm really fucking with right now.
I gotta check them out because I've been hearing a lot of good things about them.
Yeah, I got a track on Jungle with Conway the Machine from Griselda.
Wow.
Yeah, I got a track on there with him. So I fuck Griselda hard, man. It was one point, man, before I joined the army and all that. I was actually trying to be a part of Griselda.
For real?
Word up.
And yeah. How did that go?
Shit, you say I ain't in it. But they cool, though. Like I said, they cool people, man. I got a song with Buddy, man, so I'm fucking with them.
All fucking weak, bro. All weak as hell. Alright, so you got... Yo, alright, you got a... We were talking off cam. You said you got 11 projects.
Yeah, bro. You off cam right now? You said
no. I'm saying we was talking off cam.
Oh, okay.
And you said you got 11 projects.
Right.
That's like all like
they're all complete. They all done. Like ain't none of them that even need one more song added. They all done.
And this is from
2016,
2017. Yee, that's a lot of work. So you don't. Cause you know how some people, you got artists that like quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe in that?
Well, I do, but it depends on what I'm doing. See, like from like my regular lyrical stuff. So Peru, that was my first album. I recorded that upstate New York in the studio called Make It Entertainment in Syracuse. My second album, self-titled, I recorded that myself. I mixed and mastered all that myself.
That's dope.
But that's how most of my albums, I did all that shit myself. But like that album, it's a little different because it's all just like lyricism over a whole bunch of like samples and shit. So as far as quality, it's really just making my voice blend in good with the beat and just sound good, right? Because I'm not throwing a bunch of effects and shit on it. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Because like a 90s style, just spitting. See, now when I get the shit like Welcome to the Ville, something like that, now that's more of a quality over quantity type thing. That's why it's not a lot of songs. Gotcha. We made a lot of songs, but we had to pick which ones was the hardest, you know what I'm saying? How we want to do that. And the process is a little different. We had to put a lot more money into that project because I'm not recording that at the spot, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to studios recording that album. We recorded a track in Rev Room, recorded a track. We took one track that we made in like 2017 up in New York. My boy was in New York with me too. Recorded a track in my boy Leviticus Studio, and we recorded a track at Red Room. And another joint in Raleigh, too. And I don't even remember what that studio was called, but it's cool people, though. We recorded a joint in there called Five.
Red Room, is that Barry?
Yep.
Shout out to Barry Williams.
He ain't mixed it, though, but shout out to him. He ain't mixed it. He got a dude under him, like, that I be working with. I honestly never worked with Barry before.
Really?
But I like his young homie, though, you know what I'm saying? Shit. He be in that lit with me. I ain't gonna say too much in the camera, but I fuck with him.
Yeah, shout out to Barry. I seen him at the
cool
battle.
Too, though.
Yeah, but 11 projects, that's a lot of projects. Like, a lot of artists don't even see double digits. Is it like a type of record you trying to break, or is it like a certain number you trying to hit? Or
as
you
far
just,
as albums?
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't a record, man, but shit, I told myself, I said, man, Only way I could make it, bro, is if I try to make it. Right. You feel me? So I said, shit, I put out 50 albums. If I put out 50 albums and I don't get on, niggas just ain't fucking with me. And you know what? I got a homie I was in the army with, a white nigga. He was like, nah, put out 100. So that's the move. I was like, all right, nigga really convinced me to do that. So
it's somebody out there.
I'm hitting 100 albums, nigga.
It's somebody out there that got like a large double digit.
E-40.
Yes, that's who it is.
E-40.
That's exactly who it is. You know how many it is?
Nah, I don't, but I know it's insane though, cause I remember seeing that shit too. I think he was like on the Sway interview or some shit like that talking about.
He was. Damn.
Something crazy like 64 or something.
It's a real huge number. It's like a Jordan Kobe dropping.
But yeah, it's something crazy.
That's dope because like a lot of people don't even have goals when they come in. They just be like, all right, I'm just trying to get on.
Yeah.
And once they get on, then a lot of people don't even keep that same work ethic.
See, I just got to the point where I'm worried about getting on.
Mm-hmm.
Before, it was just for the love of music, and I just felt like, damn, I'm a great artist. Like, I mean, not to my own horn, bro, but that's how I felt, shit.
And like, that's how you're supposed to feel, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt like I was the greatest. Let me keep doing this.
Nah, rephrase that. It's good that you have that. It's good to say, okay, I feel like I'm the best, or, you know, I am that nigga, but
self-awareness.
Self-awareness, but if you... It's the people around you. If they believe in you, then okay, you got something.
Yeah.
And from the looks of it, your whole camp feel it. They all believe in you.
They believe in me, bro. Word up. It took. I mean, some homies. It took time for them to come over and see what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But on the real, like I needed that. Like my boy Luke Burner, that LG Connect song we made in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first song we ever made together, and we had been rapping together for like 4 years before then. But like, we was all in a group together, but it was never a song with just me and him. You know why?
Because he didn't believe you.
Exactly. I wasn't raw enough yet, bro. It took time, bro. It was a grind, bro. I had to really sit down and like, I remember times where like, it was one day I don't even know if this shit like makes sense on how this will make you a better rapper, but this is how I felt. I put on Ready to Die. Mm-hmm. You were just talking about Biggie earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I let Ready to Die damn just rock, and I just opened up a dictionary, nigga, and just looked at the whole dictionary. So I just had a whole bunch of words going through my mind and shit, and I was like, damn, maybe this shit helped me.
Shit.
That shit worked. I ain't gonna cap. I wrote a whole album, and my damn, this was back when I had Galaxy S3s. It was so raw, like, even, like, the damn, had, like, skits and shit on the album. And, like, even the skits, like, rhymed. Like, everything was, like, hip-hop. Like, but then, my damn Galaxy S3 broke, lost the whole damn album.
Yeah. You was sick as fuck.
Mad as hell, bro. That shit was creative. Like, I'll be in church writing them damn verses.
Dang. Whatever it comes to you, that's exactly how I was. Wherever it came to me, I could be... I got a verse that I did, and I said I wrote this shit when I was on a crapper.
Yeah.
So it don't matter where you come, as long as you be able to jot that shit down and keep that shit, that's what's up. I had sort of kind of the similar process, like when I was getting, like, I do verses here and there for people.
Yeah.
But I use rhymes on.
Okay.
So, like, say for instance, like, if I have a line.
Yeah.
And I want to have, you know, I want to add that punch, I want to add that bar, I'm like, okay. Whatever that last word is, like, all right, how can I flip that? Now go to rhyme zone and say, no, that doesn't work. That word doesn't work for me. And then, okay, I got this shit. And then this shit come out pretty nice. I'm about to do a verse with my boy Boogie and my boy G Banks. And he come down from Seattle. And this is gonna be my first verse I did in about like 6 months, bro. Maybe like a year.
You about to be in the studio?
Probably.
Okay.
I ain't gonna say probably. I'm gonna do it because off the strength of the love for them.
Yeah.
But like I said, I do verse for people, you know, here and there. It's just I have to want to do it. I have to really want to do it. So get into that. Your features. Do you do features for people or you just rather?
I do features for people for free. I don't charge a thing unless you, like, your music's not good. You gotta pay me.
tell them that.
Yeah, if your music's not good, you gotta pay me. So I'm not gonna. So I'm probably not gonna be like, your music's not good. But if I hit you and I'd be like, yo, it's this much, you should. You know what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying?
Thanks.
But most of the time, bro, I love hip hop. Okay, it might not even be that your music's not good. Maybe the beat not good. So, you know what I'm saying? I try to work something out with you or something like that. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, man, most people that hit me up to make music, man, I already respect them and shit. So we usually come together and make something great.
Facts. And that's how it's supposed to be, bro. I appreciate somebody that can, like, that respect the craft, man. Like, if you put the time in, you put the hours in, which I have seen you do it, and notice it, 11 albums is most definitely putting time into your craft and then watching your growth. I have nothing but respect for you, and I know it's a, like, I ain't even say eventually, it's your time is coming. Your time is coming.
Appreciate you, my nigga.
Keep putting that work in. Your time is gonna come because it's like I tell my bro Dom. You might not make it mainstream, but you will have your fan base. If you got your own core fan base, you can rock out regardless. You can put out whatever you want, and you be fine. You got. Look at Tech N9ne. You got Logic. Well, I mean, I won't even consider Logic mainstream, but you got Tech N9ne, you got Logic, you got Hobson, you got it's a couple. You got Face. You got Trey the Truth. It's so many people that's not mainstream, but they are known.
They got that core
fan base, and they fine. They just doing what they doing what they love, and I feel like that's your track. That's the way you want. I feel like you're not really too much worried about being radio or being mainstream, but you just want your music.
I'm trying to eat off this shit. That's it. I'm just trying to eat off this shit.
You want to eat off your work, and that's how it's supposed to be. You know, if you really good, if you good at what you do, you should get paid for it.
Word up.
The Joker said that really well for me.
I got some paper coming in, but it ain't like it need to be. I'm trying to get to that point where that shit paying the bills.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
I got you. And like I said, it's all in due time, bro. And you just, like I said, you just keep going. You just keep moving. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, man? Well, I picked up this little acting gig recently. I'm going to plug that real quick. We got something called The Jungle coming out soon. So that depends on if The Jungle going to take off first or if this rap thing going to take off first. You know what I'm saying? So
you can mix it with
simultaneously, because what we're going to do is we're going to have some, like, my music be in the background to show everybody involved in it. Not everybody, but about four people in the four main characters in the series or whatever. We're all rappers. So we'll have our music, like, incorporated maybe in the intro or, like, just do our different scenes or however we do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So... also, my character's name is G. I go by G the Villain. Hey. So that kind of works too. You know what I'm saying?
Hand in hand, you can make it seem like, you know, G, he's a rapper on the side when he's doing his shit.
Exactly.
So it's all about you know, playing.
But 5 years, I see myself, man. Honestly, man, I see myself sitting up, bro, in a 3-story home, bro, eating with paper. Just sitting up, man, down, sending motherfuckers to the store to go buy me Red Lows. Shit, give my homie $5. I'm trying to throw one of my man's $5. You know what I'm saying? Keep the change, dog. Just give me some games. You feel me? I'm keeping the whole team fed. Whole team, we all gonna be good, smoking, man, making money, traveling, man. That's really where I want to be, bro. You know, I've been thinking about moving to LA. But I want to do things a little different, though. I don't think no other artist really has. Like, I really want to make the city pop. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I can do that if I really go to LA. I'll make myself pop.
And you know what? I was talking to Rico with the K. Shouts to him. I was talking to him the other day, and he was saying he hate the fact of people saying, oh, I got to leave the Ville to put on, to get put on.
Yeah.
And which, in a sense, we really don't have to. It's all about having, one coming together, as a city, and then building our resources together. Like, he's in Atlanta right now. He's making noise. He on his way up, and he just say, you know, what he do is he'll take what he learned from Atlanta, and then he'll run back and give it to his people that's here, which
pass knowledge
basically, and that's how it's supposed to be. You know, a lot of people, you know, when they get on, they just, you know, they stick themselves.
Yeah.
Or they, you know, they don't want to give the game, or you have to pay for the game.
Right.
And which, I mean, if you get to a certain stature, a level. Like with Master P and Kodak, he, you know, in a sense, I understood where Master P was coming from, because, you know, I took my time and tried to help you out with, you know, with your legal issues and teach you, you know, what I know, and then, you know, you fucked me over. So for the next nigga, I'm have to pay the mo. You got to pay the bag. But if you just, you know, you trying to come up, and then you get a little buzz, or you get, you know, get to a little level. You know, you should be able to, you know, bring somebody else up.
Bring the homies.
Bring somebody else up. And I just feel like you don't have to leave. Your talent will speak for itself. In which I do feel like, you know, your sound is different from the Ville. So you know, somebody that has your type of style or your feel, hey, I'm gonna go fuck with G.
Yeah, word.
And then you got Race Taylor and them, they got their own sound. And then you got Dom, DBE, they got their own sound. And then you got Clark and S-Dot, they got their own sound. I think you would fuck with Clark and S-Dot. They got that.
I heard that somebody named S-Dot before.
What? No cap. His name, I call him S-Dot, but his name Nameless.
Oh, that's a rap name?
Yeah.
Okay.
They got that more so of the soulful hip-hop type feel. So, like I said, we got the sounds. It's just we have to come together and then, like I said, bring the resources, put the spotlight. We, you know, shout out to Cole, but we don't have to bang off J. Cole name.
Yeah, we don't.
We can do it ourselves. It's just if people really want to take that sacrifice and do it.
Like that's what I'm saying though, man. That's why I'm gonna do it a little different for the city, man. Not saying that Cole ain't do it, but I know his mentor personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a dude that brought him up in the game. And I'll be hollering at him or whatever. I'm trying to get him involved in the TV show and all that too. But where he at with it right now, it's like, it's honestly like Cole ain't doing enough for the city, bro. So I'm trying to make sure, I'm trying to do enough for the city, bro. I'm trying to do more than enough for the city, man.
Mm-hmm.
When I get on, bro, I'm trying to have build a rec center for the kids to play at, man. I'm trying to improve neighborhoods, bro.
And I talk about that shit too. Like,
it's all real though.
I want to be able to get to a point where I can do some, like, I want to have a performing arts school.
Yeah.
Like how they have in Chicago or them big cities where it's a school, but then they cater to music. They cater to acting. They cater to, like, even in L.A., I just found out it's a school. It's credited by the NCAA, so
it's legit.
It's legit. They go to school from like 8 to 8 to 11, 8 to 12, or something like that. Do all their core classes and they that elective that they need to graduate and to go to college. But then from 12 to like 3 or 4, they just focus on basketball.
See, that's dope.
And you just think about that, like, you get 3 to 4 more extra hours to work on your craft versus somebody that has to go to school all day and then practice for like an hour and a half, right. 2 hours. You know how much time and how much effort, you know, how much work that could be put in to just focus on your craft.
That's 24 hours already in 1 week, bro.
Exactly. And you just, like I said, you working on something that you love. That's only going to get you better.
Exactly.
Only going to get you better. So, that's, you know, I'm on the same shit as you on. Like, as far as, like, you know, having something for the kids where, you know, I was down at Southern Pines. Boys and Girls Club. They got a recording studio. In the Boys and Girls Club. Recording studio, 2 basketball gyms, a pool, like a little lounge area for, and like.
That's crazy.
That's dope. That's something that you have like on a college campus.
Yeah, that's dope.
And but like I said, this is for the kids and they, you know, for the generations to come up. And that's, like I said, I'm on that same shit. That's what I want, because I'm the type of person, I want to try to help where I can,
right?
And if I feel like that you're putting in the work and you know you passionate about something, I'm gonna help you out regardless. So that's like, bro, that's crazy that you said you want to open up a rec, because I, like I say, it seems like it's only a few people that I talk to that's on that same shit that want to pick up and better the city.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, bro. Shit, that's where I grew up at. You feel me? It's been hard enough coming up. Shit, listen, I'm trying to make it easy.
Right. Make it easy for the next for the next ones, especially for our young ones. At least coming up.
Make it easier, you know what I'm saying? Do my part, man. Do what I can, bro. Because if I get the paper, man, let's say I get 10 mil. I'm one man, bro. What am I really do with all that money, bro? Exactly. I mean, it's shit I can do with it. But like,
you're just gonna blow. I mean, you're gonna blow it on stuff that I mean, you might buy some stuff that's worth value.
Right.
But like, majority of the money, we're gonna blow that money.
No, I don't want to do that though. If I get 10 mil, bro, I want to at least put 3 of that shit into the city.
Fact.
That's no cap.
Invest it into the future, bro.
Yeah.
That's the best thing. Well, I ain't gonna say that. It is the best thing, but a lot of people, like I said, they don't think about that. Man, that touched my heart, man. I ain't gonna lie. That touched my heart. Now, let me get back on track. All right, so who are some of the people that helped you get to where you are now?
They helped me get to where I am now. I'm about to say my man's love, man. He really gave me my man's love really gave me the confidence with this acting thing I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of where I'm at right now. Even though we just released like a preview of the trailer, like, other people has been coming at me and hitting me up, and that's been giving me opportunities to, you know, share my link to my music with them, and, you know, little interactions like that. He kind of taught me how to promote. I'd like to credit my boy Derek Pops too, Mr. West, bro, because if it weren't for him, I never would have recorded Peru. Mm-hmm. Because I was at a point in my life where I didn't know what the hell I was about to do. He was like, hey, bro, you should just join the army. Shit, you might not like it. He's like, but shit, man, it's only a couple years. See if you fuck with it. You know what I'm saying? Shit, I joined the army. So my whole time at basic training, bro, everybody writing their family and shit. I'm writing rhymes. I was writing my girl too at the time, but I was mostly writing rhymes. I had a composition book, mm-hmm. filled that shit from front to back, and that's the whole Peru album.
Damn.
So every song on Peru was written during my time at basic training, bro. So I ain't had no beats or nothing.
That's crazy.
So it was a silence, nigga. It was me at night with a flashlight, like no cap, because the lights out. Uh-huh. So it's me at night with a flashlight in my pen, and that's how I wrote the whole album.
Damn.
But
that shit that goes into your craft, man. That goes, that shows, man.
That shows where I'm at right now, though. You know what I'm saying? As far as like the work ethic, bro. I was real determined to get that done. And like I said, I never would never wrote the album if I would never went to the army. So Mr. Wesley is the reason I went to the army. And on top of that, I give him some more credit too, because I remember the first time he came in there and he listened to our songs. He heard me spitting. He was like, damn, nigga, like, say, I should be a singer.
I see you've been tweaking with the melodies.
No, but I took the wrong way though. I didn't take it like that.
Oh, you took it as far as like...
I took it like, damn...
Disrespect?
Yeah, like damn, a singer. Like, I'm rapping. So, so I had to get raw. I had to get right, bro. I had to put a lot more time into the pen.
Okay.
You know, then once I finished that Peru album, Mr. West heard it, man. He was proud of me, bro. I was like, damn, that's why I knew I made a real good joint, because he liked it. Because he's a real hip-hop head. Like, he was listening to Nas. That's it. Like, Nas, Elzai. That was real lyrical shit like that.
That's what's
top tier. So when I seen that he was feeling my shit, bro, and he was also like 40-something years old. He's an older dude.
Yeah,
he was feeling me.
Yeah, and when you can capture somebody's ear from a different generation,
exactly.
That speaks to your talent too. And you know, shout out to him, man. He respecting your pen, man. So let me ask you this. One of my closing questions I like to ask. Well, I started asking. If 2020 was a celebrity, who would it be?
2020, Charlie Sheen.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a fucking good one. Why you say Charlie Sheen?
That nigga sick as hell, but it's kind of low key. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
They got AIDS and shit. Nigga fucked up. That's what Corona is, man. It's like, it ain't AIDS. I don't want to sound ignorant or nothing, but it's killing motherfuckers, man.
Yeah, people need to take this. I mean, it's serious.
Yeah,
but you know, I ain't gonna say it's not serious, but it.
Yeah,
we know, you know. My boy Rico was like, Trump
was 2020,
and I said, you know what? He probably right. The way shit coming up, you probably right. I mean, it's been a whole...
Because it's just crazy, bro.
Yeah, it's been... And I ain't gonna lie, some people had come-ups. People that I know personally, they had come-ups. But, you know, for the most part, a lot of people... it's been a shitty year. Been a very shitty year.
But, you know, man, honestly, the year's been very crazy, like, for the masses. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, it hasn't been a bad year for me.
That's good, man.
You know, I just got divorced this year. I just damn fuck it, bro. It's all part of the realness, bro. I told you I put it all in the music.
Thanks.
You know what I'm saying? I just did that this year, bro. Damn, beginning of this year when this Corona shit was really going, I was trapping real heavy. That's what I was doing. So I wrote a whole album during that time, and if it weren't for the coronavirus shit, I feel like the album, when it came together, so many references to the Corona on the album and all that. I mean, the original album cover, I changed it, but the original album cover, it was called, the album was called Scale Talk. I changed the title to 1996.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a scale, and I had the shit on my ear like it was a phone, had a Corona mask on, just hella iced out, you feel me? But it was called Scale Talk. But yeah, I got done wrote all that during the pandemic, man, you feel me? So... It ain't been that bad. It hasn't affected me that bad. But as far as like you know, the families and people around America, around the world, really.
Yeah.
It's Corona shit. I think it's been serious, bro.
Yeah. Prayers to everybody that's
stay masked up.
Stay masked up, bro.
Keep the mask on for real.
Especially when you out here in these stores.
Yeah, bro. I see so many people down.
Yeah, I'm like I got to the point, man. I'm like, I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I'm getting tired of the mask a little bit. Only because, like, you know, I haven't really got used to it. So,
oh, yeah.
I hit the goddamn, about to go into the store. God damn, I forgot my goddamn mask. Got to run back to the goddamn car. So,
See, I done got me one of them joints you pull up over your face now, so it just be around my neck when I'm out usually, you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
so, I don't even think about it. It just be sitting right there. So, when it's time to put it on,
That's why I need to invest right in there. Too. That's why I need to invest in that. But, yo... it's been a long time coming, bro. Most definitely, we're going to sit down again. Shit, we can sit down after you finish shooting your shit so we can talk about that.
And see how
that, you know, your the beginning and then the end of process of your acting.
Right.
I see this shit. I'm like, okay, man.
Yeah, it's my first one, man.
Yeah, he looked like he was really doing that shit, too, bro.
The jungle.
Shout out to everybody that's in the jungle. Shout out to my boy Ricky Bell, man.
Oh, yeah.
He out here doing this thing. Much respect to him.
Yeah, he ain't charged me a thing, man. I sent him at a gas station, you know what I'm saying? Because he the real deal, I feel like. Cause yeah. See, he really, that's his craft. That's what he do.
Yeah.
I sent him at a gas station. I was like, hey, bro, me and my boys trying to do a TV show or whatever, you know? He was like, oh, for real? Give him my number, man. Shit, I didn't even hear from him. He got in contact with my boys kind of way. Sent him at the damn shoot. I was like, oh, shit, Ricky really showed up.
Yeah, Ricky, yeah. He hold his word. He's really about his word. Shout out to Ricky, man.
He popped up.
Check out Jarman Evolution on YouTube. Henry, that's on YouTube as well. But go ahead and plug yourself, bro.
G the Villain, man. You can find me on Spotify, Apple Music, all streaming stores. As far as social media, you can find me on the gram, GTV_GME. I got 1996 and Feed the Soil both dropping on Halloween, October the 31st of 2020. Then I also got 75 songs dropping the following month. I got a series called Three Stages of Hell. The first stage, 25 songs. Second stage, 25 songs. Third stage, 25 songs. Stage one, you know what I'm saying? It's first stage of hell. It's based off wrestling, you know what I'm saying? That's why I got the Three Stages of Hell from
anyway.
But all that's coming soon, man. We got more coming to the jungle. That's dropping next year. I say maybe like summer 2021, you'll be seeing the jungle.
Hey, this my man G, man. Y'all better check him out, man. He out here doing this thing.
Shout out to my boys from GME, too.
Yeah, shout out to Master Woods. Shout out to Nasty.
Dutch, Luke Burner, Penny Taylor.
All of them.
Scully D, too.
Shout out to AD, man. And Sean.
Yeah. And shout out to everybody, man. Shit, I'm my nigga. Shout out to Gommel.
Everybody, man. Shout out to everybody, man.
Yeah, if it weren't for AD, I wouldn't even know this man.
Man.
We probably came across each other sometime, but you know what I'm saying.
It was a long time coming, man.
Yeah,
bro. Long time coming. But you already know what it is. It's your boy Jigsaw with the Jigsaw Company. Y'all know you can catch us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Download that Anchor app if you ain't got it.
Mm-hmm.
The video will be posted on YouTube, so check that out. Got more shit coming. Got the short film dropping later this month. Well, shooting the short film later this month. And I'm also working on my web series, Living with Karma. So be on the lookout for that. And as y'all already know, it's Jigsaw. Keep your pieces together. Keep y'all. Them.
Dope.